if we take from the experience of the world, from the worldly experience, if we want to attain something, if we want to obtain something, we have to utilize the resources and the means to obtain that thing. Obviously, the whole world, it revolves on utilizing the means, the methodology, or the resources to attain something. And the biggest point here, to attain an objective, or to get to a destination, we have to have passion and desire from within. If a person has passion, keenness, desire to get something, to attain something, then that is the first, you can say, step. And you know, you say passion and desire, keenness. The more passion a person has, the more ambition a person has, the more keenness a person has, that person will get to the destination. And this is the first and important factor, the most important factor with regards to attaining something on a worldly basis. A person's always thinking about his desires. Oh, today I want to make pilau rice. And, you know, for example, a person speaks about pilau and he doesn't want that, really. He doesn't have the keenness, the passion, then he will not be able to achieve it. So if somebody's weak and he's not strong, and it's difficult for that person to do something, but he has the desire and keenness, he gets to the objective. He will fulfill his objective. I'll give some examples so we understand that how a person travels along the journey of life with keenness and desire, passion, and achieves his objectives or her objectives. To attain passion and desire, you also need to utilize some means and resources to generate and inculcate the passion and desire in oneself. So what is the way? What is the method to bring about passion and desire about something? If I don't have that desire and keenness, I can't reach my objective. So how can I develop the passion and desire within me so I can reach my objective, so that we can be successful? Do you understand the point I'm saying? So I'll give you one example. An example that I read a book, and in that book I see that there's a certain city or country, it's very nice, there are mountains and fountains and waterfalls, and there's a lot of beautiful scenery in that country. And I read that in the book. There's a little bit of introduction about that country in a book, and I've learnt about it. Then a friend comes, he's travelled to the country, he goes, oh, I went to that place on holiday, it was a beautiful place, I saw this and that. So my desire and liking for that place will increase, won't it? Then after some days, that book comes back to my hand. And I look at that city and that country again, and I remember my friend came back from there, described it, then the passion to go there increases. So by chance, there was a keenness, an interest initially in the heart, then I learnt about it a bit more, heard about it, then my friend comes again and says, brother, oh, I'm going here to that place. So, inshallah, I've booked the ticket, or I'm booking the ticket, the flights, and it's a nice place. Then I'll say, oh, you're going there. Oh, book my ticket as well. I want to go as well to see that place, to see that country or city. So the ticket's booked, the flight's booked. So that keenness, initial interest, it developed into a desire, into a passion, into a yearning. And then I travel there to go there to fulfill my objective. So if you talk about something, think about something, read about something, the keenness develops. Another example, that somebody's getting married or wants to get married. And obviously, there will be a link with the female, the girl that he's going to get married to. And he hears that she's nice and she looks good and she's beautiful. And this is not the beauty parlor beauty. This is the asal, the genuine beauty. And her mother's praising her. The sister's his mother's praising her. His mother's praising her. His sister's praising her. And other people are praising the beauty of the girl that he's going to get married to. He starts thinking thoughts in his head that, what is this beauty everyone's mentioning? Oh, I want to see her quickly. What does she look like? And, you know, how will she be with me as a wife? So when he gets close to the day of marriage, on the day of marriage, he's yearning and passion in his mind and heart is, I want to see the girl that everyone spoke about for so long. I'll give you another example, then we will understand what I'm saying. That a person likes a certain dish or delicacy. Yeah, let's speak about food so that this comes to heart, to our mind very clearly. So making khichdi with meat, and there are spices in the food, and I want some boiled rice and khichdi, you know, the dal, the lentils, and toor, the dal of toor, and nice meat that's cooked. So it starts getting cooked the night before until the next morning, and the cook is good, he's very experienced. And then by chance, You go to an invitation, a feast, and there's food being presented there on the food mat, on the dastarkhwan. There's chicken and masala and biryanis coming, and other delicacies and dishes. And by chance, I see the dal, the tur dal, yeah, and it's made nice. And the person who's yearning developed in his thoughts, and he saw it being made, and then he'll jump first towards and go towards that dal and take that dish because of his thoughts and his yearning in the days preceding. So the desires and passion enables a person to reach his destination or her destination. So everything I gave you the examples were related to our body and this dunya and the world. Yes, to look at a city, to go and travel, to see a country, to choose a wife and to like the person, how they look, and food and nourishment. These are all body related. Yes, bodily functions. Now let's go towards the ruh, our soul. Yes, what's the asal thing? Because this body will decay. It will become a skeleton. But the real thing is what, brothers? Say it, yes. Ruh, the spirit, the soul. And the spirit and the soul also has a requirement. And when it attains its objective, then you have to develop a yearning and a desire within the ruh to have an objective and to go towards that objective. And as the desire and the passion develops in the ruh, just like the body, you have shawat and passion and desires and food and drink and then go to sleep. But the journey and the destination for our ruh, our soul, is something else. It's not eating and drinking. For example, if you put full plates of food into your stomach, but the ruh will stay cold. There's no link for our ruh, our soul, with food. Has it ever been that you've had 4 or 5 plates of pilau rice and then you will feel after that to pray tahajjud? Have you heard this? No. Rather, you sleep even longer. Oh, I'll start tahajjud from tomorrow. I've eaten too much now. I need to rest. I've had Kashmir tea. And then you start thinking. And when you eat and drink and you're worried about digesting the food. Isn't this the case? So our ruh, our soul, which is the genuine article that will give us success for long term. And the ruh, the success of the ruh, the preparation of the ruh is that the ruh says, let's pray tahajjud today. Oh, come on, let's pray and worship all night. Oh, tonight is a blessed night. Let's stay awake all night. Oh, you know, today our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to keep fast. Okay, today I will keep a fast. This is the development of the ruh's keenness, the passion and desire in our ruh, our soul. You can't force the soul and our spirit to force us. It will drag you to the masjid maybe for one day. It will maybe knock on the door and then you will slip the next day and fall down again. Then where will you go? Oh, I'm going here, there, I'm not doing anything. So when the ruh becomes desperate, then there's no need to knock on the door of our ruh, our soul. It will reach there before us because the ruh has awakened. It is traveling to its destination. What's the destination of our ruh? The masjids, the mosques, the houses of Allah. And when we take it, just like in the world, our destination, our objective is woman, food, drink, and traveling, and we get there. So doesn't our ruh require something so that it can develop its passion and desire to get to the destination? For example, when you travel to the Haramain, that is the means to develop, to nurture, and to increase the yearning in the ruh, isn't it? Especially those people who travel to Haramain, they go to Allah's house. When, for example, people go from Makkah to Medina, on the journey to Medina, Alhamdulillah, may Allah Ta'ala take us all. They say loudly, Ameen. Say it again, Ameen. Say it again, Ameen. Ah, mashallah, this boy, young chap, he said it, Ameen, loudly. So, there's a different yearning and desire and passion and keenness and desperateness. So a person, he goes Makkah, does Umrah, then he packs his bags. Quickly, quickly, let's go Madinatul Manawwara, Madinatul Manawwara, Madinatul Manawwara. Everyone's shouting out, calling out, let's go Medina. And the person who wants to nurture and feed his ruh, because we're coming, you're going to now your destination. The destination is Medina. Yes, the destination is Medina. The objective is to get to Medina. So the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah, when they're about to embark on that journey, rather from here, from their homes, from their home countries, they start to prepare the ruh with the passion and the desire and the yearning. And what are the means that they use to develop the ruh? They recite the ruh sharif in abundance. They speak about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They listen to nice naats and they send salam and durood. So the ruh is being prepared and developed. You will see the walis of Allah, mashallah, their status, and we've heard and read about the great walis. When they started on the journey towards Madinatul Munawwara, their emotions would change, their their total situation will change. They're reading, you know, kitabs and looking and reading about Rasulullah, Quba is like this, this place in Medina is like this, and Rasulullah passed by this location. And they open the books and start reading and developing their interest so that the ruh, the soul awakens, so that they can start enjoying and satisfying them when you ultimately go on the journey. Physically you're traveling and your ruh is traveling to Medina, then the color and the form changes. The situation changes, the scene changes. Subhanallah. That we are also weak people who travel. But see how a wali of Allah presents himself at the Rawda Mubarak, because he's developed and improved his ruh so much. You will never see that wali of Allah is fighting with the taxi driver. What's happening? Oh, the hotel room's not good enough. Oh, you said I will get this hotel room and I'll get such foods, and you're not giving good food, and I'm not getting the warm mattress. There's no luxury here. Oh, please bring the paya, you know, this certain meat dish. Oh, no, let's have korma today. Oh, there's no service here, and we're running after food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We've gone to Haramain. We don't know about Madinatul Munawwarah. We're standing in the line, the full lines in the restaurant for food. Isn't this the case? Isn't this the case? That's their passion and desire, because they have not developed and awakened their ruh. They have just awakened their body. But the person who's awakened his ruh, his soul, he will never waste time. Even if the difficulties come in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah, he enjoys the difficulty. Our Hazrat rahmatullahi used to say that be especially careful when you go to Medina. If the taxi driver asks you for 50 riyal, then give him 5 on top of that. And how dare we argue with them, the inhabitants of Medina. Rather bear with perseverance and patience their fussiness and their demands. And who are these people? Why did Hazrat say this? Because he had developed the yearning and the passion for his objective, and he wanted to utilize the means of Madinatul Munawwarah to get to his destination. If we take the Sheikh Hazrat Ahmad Rifa, when he reached to his destination and his ruh, his soul was reaching there, he had developed his passion so much to go to Medina that when he reached to Rawda Mubarak, the blessed grave of Rasulullah, and he presented his salam, it was such a passion and strong yearning for the salam that from the within the qabr, the grave, out of the grave came the blessed hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say wa alaikum assalam ya waladi, my son, because he was a sayyid, and he returned the salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is also a maqam, and there's our maqam. We're fighting, quarrelling, taking photos, digital photos, photos of the Rawda Mubarak, this person's Rawda Mubarak, and Ghumbat-e Khizra, and photos. And we do that. We spend a lot of time that, but we haven't developed our ruh, our soul. You see people, and they're running around, they pray salah, let's run off now to restaurant, eating time, sleeping time, and oh, it's too hot here, there's no air conditioning here, let's meet in the hotel, I can't stay in the masjid. Then I saw my Hazrat, my Sheikh, who'd reach at tahajjud time, he would come to the masjid, and until the night after Isha, he would not leave the masjid until they said that we are closing the doors. He used to be the last person there. He's not worried about food, drinking, hunger. Why? Because his ruh had been developed to such a height. Because when you develop the keenness and the yearning and the desire, for example, a person wants to see a woman, he travels and he'll overcome all the heights and the mountains to see that woman. And that person, he's blind. And so when the ruh is developed, it doesn't want to know anything else, and he has enjoyment in just one thing, that let me just stay sitting here in the house of Allah. These were those people, and this is the live example in front of us, isn't it? So the ruh, now you understand body and our desires bodily, and our ruh, our soul and spirit, and what it desires and how we should develop it. So these words I've discussed with you, so this is obvious now, apparent now, that in the world the ruh, it is developed, and you can give it what it wants in the masjid, the house of Allah, or via Haramain Sharifain. But there's a bigger destination than this for the ruh, for the soul. When will this test be overcome? That when will the ruh be tested, that how much passion and desire and yearning is within the ruh? When will we know that? When death will come to us. This is the actual objective and destination of the ruh, to surpass, to go past the phase of death. And the walis of Allah who've developed their ruh for that time, and the people like us who don't develop our ruh for that time. There's a big difference. The difference is that the wali of Allah who's prepared, his ruh has been prepared, and the ruh is about to go to its just destination. And he's developed the shauq and the zauq. And we don't have fear. Oh, what's going to happen now? Oh, what's going to happen now? And we're worried about the world and what's going to happen the next minute and the next day. But I'll give you the example. Hazrat Nasfi rahmatullahi alayhi. Do you understand? Are you enjoying what I'm saying? Aha, mashallah. Every day there's a new discussion, a new topic. Mashallah, you're so fortunate and lucky. I don't let you get bored. Mashallah, this taste, enjoyment, these 5-6 days, whenever they come, alhamdulillah, there's a different topic to discuss. And today's topic is great. Love, desire, passion. So what happened? Hazrat Nasfi rahmatullahi alayhi, people have narrated this event that when he passes away, remember what I said, our objective, the genuine destination, when the ruh and the soul will be tested, is maut at the time of death. Our ruh, our soul, spirit will be tested. We hear so much at death, there's pain, there's test, and there's severeness, and how the ruh is extracted. So when Allah assist us, when he was about to pass away, so he was from the Arifin, and then he had already revived his ruh. It was alive very nicely. So when death was near and Malik al-Maut, the angel of death, came to extract his ruh, then dhikr of Allah surrounded him from all four sides. And Malik al-Maut, the angel of death, was worried, distressed. How do I get there to him to extract his ruh? There's a barrier here. There's an obstacle here. I can't get there. There's a wall. The dhikr of Allah has surrounded him, protected him. Malik al-Maut, he could not surpass and get through the wall. So my brothers, a beautiful point here. In the world, there are baliyat in the world. There's big loss, and this time, at this moment in time, there's storm and there's baliyat and loss, and there's only one thing that can protect us, and that is the dhikr of Allah. Remember this point. Remember this point. Jinnas come, this person, magician, black magic, these issues, problems, all these hadsat and destruction in our lives. But the dhikr of Allah, if it will protect a person at the time of death, then how much will it protect us in our life if we do it properly? There's no worries and distress and issues and problems can come to us. Dhakir, the question doesn't arise. Someone can do black magic and jinnat and all of these things, possession, all of the diseases, but dhikr of Allah does not allow them to come to a person. There's a big lesson there. Rather, so I'll say, go back into here, the event that the angel of death couldn't get to him, to Hazrat Nasfi Ramdari, to take his ruh. And Allah, he went back to Allah and said, Allah, you've sent me to this man, and there's a wall of dhikr around him, I can't reach there. And Allah said, what's the issue? And he said that there's dhikr surrounding him from all four sides, and I can't get to him to extract his ruh. Then what did Allah Ta'ala say? Subhanallah, ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'innah. ارجعي الى ربك راضيه مرضيه فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. Allah Ta'ala said to the angel of death, don't worry, let me tell you the method to extract his ruh. See what happens. And the angel of death said, yes, my lord Allah. Allah Ta'ala said, just put your hand up and write my name on your hand, write Allah on your hand, and put this Allah in front of him, and then see what happens. So the angel of death put Allah on his hand, went there, put that in front of him, and his ruh, when it saw and it was ready to go to its destination, because the destination of the ruh is to see the Lord, to see his creator, he wanted to reach to his destination. When he saw the name of Allah, without asking nothing, it straight away came into the control of the Malik al-Maut, angel of death, and the wall, the barrier was removed, and it reached to its destination, and he took its life. So my brothers, the lesson here, the point here, is the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, is the great action. All ibadah take us to the destination. They develop the shock, the passion in the ruh, the soul, for what? To attain our objective, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ruh, the soul, the spirit becomes so developed, strong, developed with interest and passion. It's not worried about death. And it says, quickly, I want to go to the next world hereafter so we can meet Allah. But we don't have that shock desire. The Sahaba Ikram, there are thousands of examples. The companions, the radiallahu anhum, they weren't worried about dunya and temporariness and luxuries. They had a yearning. Quickly, when my death comes, that time, that's a portion, it's written, so I can go into the next world and see my Rabb, my Lord. So the most beneficial way to get our ruh to this point, if we want to utilize the resources and the methods to develop our ruh and our soul to get to this point, there's wahid, one ibadat, and that is the dhikr of Allah, Allah's remembrance. And that's why the walis of Allah have grabbed it with firmness, the dhikr of Allah. With firmness. And the ruh, they've given it the means and the method to get it to its destination. So that when the dhikr of Allah is done, the ruh, it It consumes the dhikr, it grows, it gets strengthened, and the barriers that in front of the ruh to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are removed. So in the dunya, when we develop it, and we develop passion and keenness, then the ruh will look for the means and the method to get near to Allah, the masjids, haramain, sharifain. There will be the journey, there will be the recitation of Quran, there will be tahajjud prayer, there will be nawafil, voluntary actions, because he has attained the food of the ruh. And he waits for the death, the human being, the he or she, the brother and sister, wait for death. And in life, when the maut comes, he's attaining his desire. The person's maintaining its desire, because the ruh will jump out and say, "Subhanallah, I'm free today. I'm getting to my Lord." So brothers, we should do dhikr of Allah. It's a great action. It's not for this that Allah Ta'ala has given us rewards for thawab, that we do dhikr. Yes, we do dhikr for thawab, reward. But there's the ultimate reward objective. For example, you want to educate your children in Quran. You say to the child, "Go to madrasa." And he complains, the child, and doesn't know the importance of Quran. The child doesn't know, that the father knows. So what does the father do? He starts with the sweets. "Come on, if you go to madrasa today, I'll give you one chocolate." And then the child will jump to read the Quran. He will jump towards the Quran. It's not the passion of the Quran taking the child. What is it? The chocolate, the sweets, the delicacies. And the sweets and the chocolates are taking the child to the Quran. And the father knows that today he's going with the chocolate. But when he gets older, then he will forget the chocolates and his Quran will drive him. Hey, mashallah, the father sitting. Do you think they read tarawih with the chocolates, due to the chocolates and the interest? And do you think when they come back in the night, they get chocolates, they get sweets? No, they don't get nothing. They have the yearning, the desire. Mashallah, nobody's there to stop them. Then they get angry if somebody stops them in reciting Quran. So first it starts with chocolates, then it goes further. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given thawab for dhikr. Rahmah comes, bakshish comes, forgiveness comes. Allah gives reward. It's just like the chocolate. For dhikr of Allah gives rewards. But once they get the taste of dhikr, then ibadat, they forgets the thawab and the rewards, then it's waiting, yearning, and thinking about the ultimate destination. Hazrat said, then go towards the genuine objective, the end point. What's hinging on that, when you do dhikr, when you're doing dhikr of Allah, then go directly towards Allah who you are remembering, then you will know that you are the dhakir. So don't be in the trickery, "Oh, I need rewards. Look, we're mature. I have to tell you about thawab. You'll get this." It's not about chocolates and sweets. You come for dhikr and we'll give you sweets and chocolates or money. Wherever you learn that there's dhikr somewhere, your ruh should run there. Let's get there, the dhikr of Allah, the majlis, the gathering, assembly. When you have this yearning and desire and passion, then you could say you are dhakir. Otherwise, no. At the moment, we are not the dhakireen. Inshallah, if we struggle, we strive and work hard, then do one thing. Develop the passion in the ruh, the yearning, the desire, the want. And how will this happen? If you listen to the words of Allah, we have to reach here. We have to look at the oneness of Allah. The Quran is full of Allah Ta'ala's greatness, His shan, His jamal, His kamal, His qudrat, His heights, His rank, His status. We should be immersed in Allah Ta'ala's being, that we should not compare it to compete with anything. Jamal is Allah's, kamal is Allah's. Everything is Allah's. Jalal is Allah's Jalal. And fear, Allah's fear. And greatness is Allah's. And everything is Allah's. When you're immersed in this and attached to this and stuck to this, then shock and desire and passion increases. That, let me see, who is Allah? I want to get to Allah. When this passion and desire is increased, then the ruh, it breaks through all of the heights. That, let me go and see Allah after death. It wants to see Allah. Isn't this not right or wrong? It's right, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, that's why we try, we speak, we won't get chocolates. Then you'll have to come just like this for dhikr, okay? Look, there's so few people today, even our own people, that disobey. You have to speak out, come, announce, come to dhikr. This is thawab, this is the reward. And it's embarrassing that why should we tell the older people thawab reward? We don't even know until today thawab. We should go towards the next level. That's why this point and subject came into my mind, the topic I presented to you. Some individuals, brothers, they've come late, but they shouldn't come late. When you know there's dhikr, then you should come on time. You're doing dhikr for so long and your foreheads, they've been rubbed on the ground. Abrasion is on your foreheads. You don't know about the reward. I come from that area. You come from the same area. I come from there, don't I? So why do we come late? What's the reason for coming late? When you want to hear the words of your sheikh, your ears and your head and your body should be running, desperate. I want to hear my sheikh today. So this is, you can say, ungratefulness to the extreme. If we get the feast invitation now, people who haven't even come now, they'll change their route in the street. "Oh, I don't want to get late and the food will finish." The Mulana Sahib, you came first today. "Oh, just thought that, you know, we'll sit down, some friends will come, we'll talk. The objective was food. Get there quickly so we get a good seat." and a good position, so we eat the good food. When we talk about dhikr, we take the time, we're late, 10 minutes have passed, half the discussion is finished. The extreme ungratefulness, we should do istighfar and repent for this. Allah Ta'ala, He takes the rewards from the people who are ungrateful, who don't want to come on time and hear and listen and take part. This is ungratefulness. It's stated that ungratefulness is attached to what? Kufr. Isn't this the case? No. But we are so ungrateful, we're not grateful to Allah. Allah's calling us to His gathering, His majlis, dhikr will come, we'll sit, we'll listen. We should run here, get here 10 minutes first in advance so we can welcome our shaykh, our teacher. What a big difference. In that gathering, to attain the phase of this majlis, we travel, then we get the 10 minutes first, see my shaykh when he arrives, welcome him, pray two nafal, tayyatul masjid for being grateful, two nafal gratefulness, shukrana, two nafal, I'm healthy today, I've come here, many thousands have could not come, and this is coming, and the other person, he's looking at his watch, maybe has still speaking, still 10 minutes left in the bayan, I'll get there a little bit late, then I'll take part, and then the person comes in dhikr, halfway through the discussion, who will get the phase? Who will get the objective? Who is the person who gives faith? Who? Me? You? Some other person? Who? Allah gives the faith, the benefit. And if a person doesn't even have the greatness of Allah in his heart to come in on time, what will he attain? Just shoving and pushing and forcing. Doesn't matter how much dhikr he does, he will keep on sinning. He won't be able to leave the sin. This is the punishment from Allah. So do we promise that we will have adab for dhikr? Yes. So do dhikr in such a way that you realize the wali of Allah is coming. And he's going to speak. Get here first in advance. Pick up his shoes. Welcome him. Do dua for him. Allah, you have sent this personality, this shaykh to us. He's speaking with great words to us. And he's telling us great things. We're learning things. We're improving. This is being grateful to Allah. And if we're ungrateful and we pass our life, doesn't matter how long my beard is and how high is my imama, and I have the attire, Islamic attire, and I have a big long tasbih in my hand. But the person who's ungrateful will not get anything. Adab is a big thing. Forgive me because our discussion has increased and extended, but I don't like seeing such people who come late and sit in the masjid and come late to the majlis, or they depart from the gathering halfway through. We shouldn't do that. Come, eat in advance, sit down with ease. If there's something that forces you to leave, then go, yes, but sit with adab manners, not for me, for Allah, who you've come to do His dhikr for. Allah Ta'ala is great. We're not doing dhikr of Layla, Majnu, or Heer Ranja that we're talking about. No. And here, we're not running through a script, a story. This is Allah, Allah, Allah's zikr is what we are doing, my brothers. That's why we've come, we're doing zikr of Allah here. Aren't we? Subhanallah. But no, we're worried about time. We'll come late, dunya, and we'll leave late. I've just come and sat down, and his face and his appearance, nothing's correct. Brothers, people who are prepared, they go through all of the obstacles and get to the heights. Allah Ta'ala looks at the heart. So if we want to be correct, then we have to do shukr on Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas, Allah Ta'ala's gifts and treasures. So when you come to the masjid, pray two rakah tahiyatul masjid. Pray two rakah nafal salah. What is the reason? What are these two rakah that we pray? We say, Allah, your azmat, your greatness, your jalal and your kamal, the sadqa, such a useless, bone, idle person who is me, who is immersed and drowned in nafs and shaitan, you allowed me to do wudu. That while I was doing wudu, every drop of the wudu water allowed my sins to be removed. And after getting such a reward, we stay like the animals and we don't change and improve ourselves. We should bow into the sujood and do shukr to Allah. You allowed me to do wudu. Allahu Akbar, when that person prays the two rakah, he gets so close to Allah that he's doing shukr of his wudu. He's come to the masjid. And he's come on time to the masjid. You can pray tahiyatul masjid. Come in advance. And you pray two rakah. Nafal, Allah, you brought me to the destination. My footsteps, you made it easy for me to travel to get to my objective. You've grabbed my nafs, Allah. My desires, they were an obstacle. Thousands of other attractions, they were in my way. I've seen myself. You can take it as a dream or kashf. That how shaitan is preventing people coming to the masjid. I saw this myself. Astaghfirullah. That he's trying so hard with the people so they don't reach to the masjid and dragging them, pulling them. I was amazed that this is his genuine sight, the shaitan, and the people used to pray with me, all of the same people, and I saw that what people he affected through his struggles to pull them away from the masjid. I was amazed that this is his power and effect. Allah Ta'ala showed that this is the dunya that is moving along at the moment. So what is it that breaks down the barriers and allows me and you and everyone to get to the masjid? Should we not do shukr to Allah? And this is being grateful. And when we are do shukr, we do wudu, we pray the nafal, and we are grateful to Allah, and we get to the masjid. Then when we get to the genuine article, the majlis, and we do dhikr of Allah, then imagine the maqam of that person. So my brothers, make your lives, time is short, the breaths are short, time is short, these few words are presented at your service. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq to practice on this and you. Okay, now let's go towards the action to nourish our ruh with the dhikr of Allah.